Welcome back, Rock Movers. This is season 6, and it is all about the boys. We've got some amazing guests, so if you're ready, let's start moving some rocks. Hey, welcome back, Rock Movers. Season 6 is all about the men. And today I have one of my favorite boys on the podcast. Y'all, it's Larry Roberts. You know him as the red hat guy, but I know him as a brother from another mother because Larry Roberts is basically family to our house. And he's amazing. So I can't wait for you to get to know him today. Let me tell you a little bit about Larry. After experiencing burnout in the corporate world, the visionary behind the Red Hat Media brand embarked on a journey into the dynamic world of content creation and tech-driven opportunities. His mission was clear: to ignite his passion as an innovative creator, a goal which he has achieved with remarkable success. Although he is a very humble guy, you would not know how amazing this success has been for him. I think it's even blown him away. Would that be fair to say?
It's fair to say.
Since 2014, he's carved out a defined niche in the podcasting landscape by leveraging AI and tech. He's a regular on ABC's Good Morning Texas here in Dallas and a keynote speaker at major events. If you've ever been to PodFest, you know you've seen him walking around. He's been in Entrepreneurs Organization, EO, eWomen Network, and Podcast Movement. He's an award-winning host on several highly ranked podcasts, and he's a best-selling author. So when I say this guy is doing it all, he is literally all over the place. You know him, the Red Hat guy. Larry, thank you for coming to the podcast and being a part of the Rock Movers. I'm apparently fangirling this morning, and I can't even talk. So welcome.
It's okay. It's okay. We can both just breathe through it. It's okay. But no, I really appreciate you having me here. We've been talking about this for a long time, and I'm glad we finally found the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, me too. I appreciate you so much. And yes, we have tried to get this on. Unfortunately, your schedule has just been so busy. So thank you for taking time today to just spend a little time with our Rock Movers and share a little bit about your story, because for those that don't know, I got started podcasting in 2020, and Larry has been instrumental in how I've grown my podcast, how it's evolved. So if you've seen the different evolutions, chances are Larry Roberts was probably the instigator behind it. And I'm sure at times he was like shaking his head going, Karen, oh no, just ask me for help. I'm bullheaded and I'm going to learn it the hard way. But you've been instrumental for my business and my podcast. So thank you for that.
No, thank you. I appreciate the compliments. And, you know, it's funny because I'm very similarly built in that I have to make every mistake I possibly can before I actually start listening to people. So I think my bullheadedness and my determination to do it my way has been instrumental in my growth. And, you know, you started podcasting in 2020 and I started in 2014. So I got a few years on you there. But when I first started, I didn't need no podcast. I remember specifically because Podcast Movement is actually based out of Dallas. And I remember when I first found out about that conference, I'm like, I don't need no stupid conference. I don't need nobody to tell me how to podcast. I'm doing it my way. I'm doing my thing.
Right.
And well, it didn't quite work out the way I intended. But, you know, and honestly, I started learning the industry after I went to my first Podcast Movement. I think it was 2019. I went to Podcast Movement. And then in 2020, I went to my first PodFest, and I got it was just by a slim chance of fate. I met Chris Kremitzos, who was the founder of PodFest. We became best good pals, and now I help co-produce the entire event as well as write their newsletter every week. So podcasting quickly became the foundation of everything that I do.
Yeah, it's been beautiful to watch. Also because it's just so genuinely and heartfelt. The process, I guess I want to say, because you really get involved with your clients. You want to see them succeed. You want their message, their voice, their influence, who they are to show through in everything from thumbnails to the bio to the show to the sound. You pursue excellence, but you don't do it at a cost of sacrificing the message of the messenger.
And it's 100% true, you know, and it's just like the red hat. Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't know why I wear a red hat. They're like, why did he randomly choose a red hat? But there is a story behind it. And the story is it revolves around two over the years. You know, I probably went through a dozen quote unquote brands. Mm-hmm. Trying to find the brand that sticks, whether it was Readily Random, whether it was my first podcast, which we're not even going to say the name of that because it was a bit of a naughty innuendo.
It was
podcasts,
a little on the edge.
It wasn't explicit, but it was a little on the edge. I had a brand called Podcast Boost for a time. Uh-huh. I mean, I just tried all these things to force these brands into place, and they just didn't work until the Red Hat came about, and it stuck because it's genuine. You know, I always wear hats anyways. The red hat story, I'll just tell it real quick. Yeah. I was speaking at an event, and I don't know if you can see it back there, but it's in a display case, the actual hat.
Yeah, we can see it.
That started it all. So I had an event in Tampa, Florida at the Amalie Arena where I was speaking, and I had that hat on. It's a Supreme hat. Supreme is just a lifestyle brand that all those wacky kids are wearing. And so I wore it out there trying to be cool and youthful. Mm-hmm. And I came down off my talk, and a good friend of mine, Alex Sanfilippo, he's also the founder of Podmatch, which is a great guesting platform and hosting platforms for podcasters. He goes, hey, bro, what's up with the Supreme hat? And I go, you know, I'm just trying to be cool. And he goes, well, are they sponsoring you? Are they paying you to wear it on stage? I go, no. He goes, then don't wear it on stage. He goes, but I love the red because I can literally see you all the way across the arena. So that really resonated with me. And I went home after that event and I tossed the Supreme hat into the closet. This was before I realized it was a real brand baseline, you know. Mm-hmm. And I bought at the time they were $6 unbranded red flat billed hat, slapped it on, tilted it 5 degrees to the right, and we're off to the races. And I literally within months started being recognized as the red hat guy. And I didn't really know that it was sticking the way that it was sticking. But about 6 months, maybe even not 6 months after that event, I was at Bitcoin Miami, which is a massive 3-day event. 30,000+ people are in attendance. Yeah. And over the course of those 3 days, multiple people I had never met came up to me and asked, aren't you the podcast guy? And I'm like, yeah, how would you know that? And they go, oh, the red hat. And I was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This thing is real. It's a real thing. Yes. So I went home after that event and I changed my business name. I changed all my branding. I changed everything. And it just exploded from there.
Yeah. I remember when that happened, and it really exploded literally overnight. It was fun to watch. So now fast forward, you're starting to come out with some Red Hat Media merch soon, and you've got all these other things, all these amazing things going. Yep. But one of the things that I know you best for is how you have an insight to help people really have their voice heard through the modality of media. So let's talk about the rocks that you help people move, because this show is all about moving rocks.
Sure.
And we can use my show as an example of how some things that we've done that have changed it, changed the tonality, changed the marketing, or if there's another show that you've done you want to talk about, totally open to that. But they can see mine because they're on it. And sure. It's just been, to me, it's been two things. One, it's been really about getting clarity. And then two, it's helped me convey my message more authentically because I'm not trying to continually sell my brand. My brand's out there now. And my brand happened as organically as yours, you know, talking about a speech about moving rocks out of our bag. And one of my friends in the audience was like, yeah, hashtag rock movers. I was like, that's it. I love it. So let's talk about how you're helping us find our voice through the modality. There you go.
There you go. Yep.
Of media.
No, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head, honestly, because it's tapping into that authenticity. Mm-hmm. So many times when people are trying to create, well, let's say content or media at this stage, whether it's a podcast, whether they write a book, whether they're posting on social media, whether it's YouTube, whatever it may be, they feel like there's this preconceived idea of how they need to present themselves. They need to have that podcaster voice, and they need to deliver the content in a way that they feel that everybody else expects to hear the content. And it's just not the way it is. You know, people need to learn that who they are is who people want to see, is who people want to know. Now, that's not always going to be the case. You know, case in point, right now, as a matter of fact, I have a lady that I was scheduled to fly to New York in a week and a half and do a business analysis and an AI analysis for a company. I've never met this lady in person. I've never had a conversation with her on the phone. And she went to my website. And as soon as she saw the red hat, she made certain assumptions of who I was and what I was representing. Mm-hmm. But that's just not the case. So it kind of bothered me. So I put together a very generic social media post. I didn't call this person out, didn't even specify gender or anything to keep the identity as private as possible. And I put it out there on Facebook and LinkedIn. And while there's a few folks that are not necessarily siding with her, they see her point of view, the vast majority of the people are fans of mine and supporters of mine and go, wow, I never would expect that red hat that you wear to be tied to any sort of anything else other than you and who you are. And that just reinforced for me. And I mean, that's not the only example. It's just the freshest because I'm going through it right this second.
Right.
It just reinforced with me that authenticity is what people want. They want to know you. And if you establish a relationship based on who you are, whether it's through your podcast or your social media or whatever it may be, or networking. You know, people overlook networking a lot, and they'll also go to these networking events. You know, I'm networking all over North Dallas, and you see some of the same people networking at the same events. I mean, I can run into the same people twice in one day sometimes, right?
Absolutely.
And they put on these airs of who they are, but if you get to know them and you pull back the curtain, you go, oh my gosh, they're behind a wall of rocks, and they got a lot of rocks that are in their way too. Because they're putting on airs of who they think they need to be accepted. And once you get people to understand that you're not going to be for everybody, and that's okay. Once you get them past that hump, once they understand that, then, and I'll use your analogy, they can start moving those rocks out of their way, and they can start coming out and being who they are and establishing their own network of like-minded individuals that support them, that appreciate them, that uplift them, and even support them financially. They end up becoming your clients over time. But it's only when we are able to move our own rocks and start seeing that, that we can make that progress.
I feel that so deeply. And it's oftentimes when someone gives us that pushback or that challenge and we have to defend a decision that we've made or who we decide to show up as that we really get to embody and embrace it fully. Because now I'm defending it. Now I have to like see it from a 360 point of view and really ask myself, is this me? Does this matter? Is this true? Is this right? Is this authentic? Is this what I really value? And when it's a yes, a hell yes, you can go to battle for that and walk away from someone that isn't a good fit, if that's the case or if that needs to happen. Thank you for sharing that story because I've watched it, you know, fall out in real time and all the comments. Yeah. And I find it so fascinating that people can make assumptions about who we are. Based on, you know, it's based on their lens that has nothing to do with you. You were branded red hat way before any of these elections. And so it wasn't tied to any of those decisions. Yet at the same time, you know, that brand represents so much to you that it almost feels personal. That attack.
Well, it's funny because I was just talking to a friend of mine and I was reading them. They're not on social media. So I was reading them the social media post that I put together. Mm-hmm. And I kid you not, by the last line, I was starting to get choked up. Because it did start to feel personal.
Yeah.
And I know it's not. I know it's not. This person doesn't know me from Adam.
Right.
So it's definitely not personal by any stretch of the imagination. But because how I am is so authentic. How I dress, how I look, how I carry myself, how I engage with people is so authentic that it feels personal.
It's not just a brand. It becomes part of your identity, doesn't it?
It is my identity. I mean, you see me on a regular basis, and I can be on TV. I can be on a large stage. I can be on a small stage. I can be anywhere. I can be at dinner on a Friday night, and what am I wearing?
Red hat.
Red hat. Zipper pullover, you know, and Jordan
tennis shoes. Yeah,
I'm that's me.
Probably
that's
with red laces.
Me. most likely with red lace. They're going to be fat laces, I can promise you that, but they're going to be red or black, depending on the shoe. But yeah, it's that's why it feels so personal, because it is. But at the same time, that personality and that attachment to the person that I am and the brand that I represent, that's what draws people in.
Right.
That's what allows me to establish these relationships. Sorry, I'm on a tangent.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love the passion, because isn't that when you know that it's right?
100%.
Yeah, I nailed it. Like, this red hat, this is me.
Yep. If you're trying to make that brand work, and I don't mean trying to build a business. Mm-hmm. I mean trying to make that brand work, trying to make that brand feel authentic to you, trying to position yourself in a way that you can represent that brand without apprehension.
Yeah.
And you're willing to go to any stage. You're willing to go to any event. You're willing to go anywhere and represent, and not just represent, but freaking rock that brand. That's when you know it's real.
Yeah. And if you can't defend it, if it doesn't fit, if it's like wearing your little brother's shoes, or, you know, something that's just a skin suit that's not yours, you know, it's not. So, I mean, that's a line in the sand kind of opportunity. So I love that. I love that it's when we hit that adversity that we get to decide who we are and do that on purpose. So, it's been fun to watch all that unfold. And it's been great to see the support rallying around you, because people do know you as the Red Hat guy. And, you know, again, I would have never associated it, just me personally, with anything other than Red Hat Media, right? That was your cool cat hat kind of uniform for what you do. And yes, because you're a tall guy, when you see you across an arena and, you know, there's a sea of white and black and t-shirts and all the things, the red hat stands out. So,
it's 6'3" and 240 pounds. I'm a big guy. And then you get this big beacon on your head. You can't hide. And I mean, I'll let you in on a little something. Sometimes I want to take it off. Sometimes I need to run to my hotel room.
If you
want to
hide, you can take it off. And then nobody knows who you are.
No one would have a clue. Who's that guy? I don't know. No idea.
That's Larry's other brother. Yeah. Okay. So love all that. So let's talk about what you've done and what you do for people. Because you do podcast audits.
Yeah.
And we've just, you know, dove into my podcast, just probably shallow. But let's talk about how you go through that process, what it looks like. If someone was listening to this and they're like, yeah, like, this guy's amazing. He's doing all the things. He's using AI in a way that, or, you know, posing AI in a way that I haven't heard before. He's making it really user-friendly and making me feel more comfortable about diving into it. How do you address doing a podcast audit? Let's kind of lay that out for people.
Yeah. You know, a lot of folks, when they start a podcast, and in the podcast industry, we call it pod fade. They usually make it about 3 to 7 episodes. And once they realize they're not the next Joe Rogan, they go, oh, this isn't for me. I can't make it happen. It is so much work. It is work, but it's absolutely essential. Especially if you're looking to be a thought leader or build a brand, I always say you need 3 things. You need to get on stages, you need to have a podcast, and you need to have a book. Okay. And I help people do all 3. So, but from a podcast audit perspective, what we do, people get frustrated with their show. Again, they're not fulfilling their Joe Rogan delusions of grandeur, and they're getting frustrated. They're not making millions of dollars. Uh-huh. So what we end up doing is I've developed the most comprehensive podcast audit in the industry. And I know that for a fact. It's not just a selling point. It definitely is the most comprehensive audit out there. What we end up doing is looking at about 22 different components of a podcast, whether it's the title of the podcast, whether it's the description of the podcast, whether it's the cover art of the podcast, distribution, audio quality, host technique, you name it. There's no stone unturned, right? No rock that we don't move when we're looking at those podcasts. How'd you like that callback?
I love it.
And we end up with at the end of it, you end up with about a 12 to 13, maybe 14 page ebook completely about your podcast.
And it's amazing, y'all.
It's insane. And at the end of it, we usually have 10 to 12 action items that you can take to start immediately seeing improvements in your show. And then on top of that, after we deliver the audit, we give you a couple of days, maybe a week, whatever, really as much time as you want mm-hmm. to review the audit and come up with a list of questions. And then we also include 1 hour of one-on-one consulting to discuss the audit and address any questions or concerns that you may have. So I've seen that. I've probably done 75 of these audits over the years, and people have seen tremendous changes in their show. They've seen their engagement increase. They've seen their reach increase. They've seen their downloads increase. It's just a great asset to have.
Yeah, it's amazing. So let's talk about the things that you notice right away when you look at any podcast. Like, what are the first things that you feel like make a great impression or can turn you away from a podcast?
Well, the first thing that people see is the cover art. Okay. And the goal with cover art is we call it stop the scroll. Because if you're going on a podcast platform, you're thumbing through all these different shows, looking at a particular genre, whatever it may be, and you have to have a piece of cover art or the brand of that podcast to catch somebody's eye and make them stop and go, oh, that looks kind of cool. What's that? What's that all about? Yeah. Once you've got them there, the second most important thing is the title. Okay, because they read the title and they go, okay, the cool looking cover art, what's the title of the show? If the title of the show doesn't deliver a unique listening proposition or clearly tell them what that show's about, odds are they're going to scroll on. Then the third most important thing is the description. And this is where a lot of people drop the ball. Mm-hmm. The description, there's different requirements for different platforms, but we always reference Apple Podcasts and YouTube because you have a much larger text box to use there. So Apple Podcast allows you up to 4,000 characters to write your description. That's a lot, not words, but characters. But that's still, if you were to type that out or write that out in a Google Doc or a Word Doc, yeah. It's about a page and a half of text. That's a
lot. And YouTube's 5,000, right?
I believe YouTube is 5,000, yes. Yeah. The only one that we really have to be concerned about is Spotify because they restrict it to 600. So what we typically do is we'll write the long description first. And this is absolutely critical that you take that and you build in all sorts of SEO-rich keywords and key phrases that are descriptors of the show. And the one thing that you really want to consider, though, is regardless of whether it's for Apple or YouTube or Spotify, you want to take that unique listening proposition, which uh-huh. is, why would people listen to your podcast? What value are they going to get out of your podcast? Right. And what makes your podcast different than everybody else's? That's what we call the unique listening proposition. And you really want to be able to narrow that down to about two sentences or about 250 characters, because regardless of what platform you're on, the description always gets truncated. So you want people to be able to look at that description and go, blah, blah, blah. Oh, wow, this is content that I want to consume.
Right.
So that's absolutely critical. But the other thing to keep in mind is all the rest of those SEO keywords and key phrases that are descriptors of your show, these fields are indexed on these platforms, meaning that when someone's looking for a particular type of content, mm-hmm. if you have those keywords and phrases in your description, odds are they're going to find your show. So that increases the discoverability. And discoverability is the number one challenge of any content creator. How do I get people to find my stuff?
Yeah.
So those are my top three things that I look at right off the bat.
I love it. And you, to help everyone out, have utilized ChatGPT and created your own chat prompt or chat.
Yeah, I built a custom GPT within ChatGPT. It's called Podcasters GPT, and it's got my book on podcasting uploaded to it. It's got the workbook that my business partner and I, that on the branded side of things, we have a workbook for starting a podcast that's been uploaded to that custom GPT. There's tons of content that is customized that we uploaded to this GPT that is specific for podcasters. So if you went to ChatGPT and you went into the custom GPT store, you could type in Podcasters GPT and boom, it's right there for you. And you could essentially perform your own semi-audit using that custom GPT for podcasters.
But here's the difference. They don't have Larry and Larry's lens to look at it. So for someone that's like, okay, I've done this, but there's still all the other things missing, right? I've kind of got the basis. Maybe I can DIY this part, but I need that professional eye.
Sure.
What's the best way for people to connect to you, to subscribe to get an audit? What could they expect to pay for an audit? And then what's next? What else do you do? Because there's a laundry list of things.
Sure. But
for those that really don't know all the behind the curtain of Red Hat Media. So first off, where do they find you?
LarryRoberts.com is the easiest place. You can also find me, The Larry Roberts, on all the social media platforms. But I'm primarily, since I'm 52, I'm kind of old, so I hang out on Facebook most of the time. But I'm pretty active on LinkedIn as well. You will find me on IG, but that's a rare moment that I'm over there. So those three platforms, you can find me. I get messages from all of them. So that's great. But really, the easiest way, if you want to reach out, is LarryRoberts.com. And if you go to the podcasting tab there, it gives a breakdown of the audit and the cost. Typical cost for an audit is $500. And again, that's the audit, which although I use AI, it's 100% worth it. And keep in mind that while I do use AI a lot, the audit itself, there's no AI behind it. That is a real human going in, reviewing your podcast and giving industry insights into your podcast. So nothing there is AI driven. And then also it's an hour's worth of consulting, which that's $250 alone by itself. So the audit's a great opportunity for you to really dig into your show and start taking some advantages of opportunities that your show can give you if you just tweak a few little things.
Yeah. Now, I know you've been guest on hundreds of podcasts, but you host a podcast with your business partner, Sarah. So tell us about that.
Branded is all about building brands that stick is our tagline for the show. So we talk about personal branding. We talk about professional branding, anything that has to do here. I'll give you a little insight. So our podcast releases on Tuesday, and here we are April 2nd and it's Wednesday. So our podcast came out yesterday. So we had a little April Fool's episode that was still about branding, but probably with a different perspective than you may think. So
it was okay.
It was a fun one. I'll put it that way.
Y'all are always up to something. Between you and Sarah, we never know what to expect. So,
100%. Got to keep you on your toes.
Y'all keep us on our toes. But you're both geniuses, and I love the chemistry mix because you come at things from two different perspectives.
Yeah.
So it really gives us a great insight because she's really great at the back end. Getting hands dirty with all of the graphics and all of the things.
Super creative. I mean, she's an amazing storyteller. I mean, storytelling is her thing. She wrote a book all about storytelling called Open This Book. And I mean, it's already won, I don't know, half a dozen awards. It's just amazing. And she literally wrote it herself, unlike me, that I used ChatGPT to write my most recent book.
The point, because it's about
100%
and AI.
It's all about how you can use AI to write a book. And that's something that I help people with as well. You know, this is amazing. So my client's book dropped yesterday and she hit number one in the entire bestsellers new releases list. She hit number one in like six different other categories on Amazon. She totally crushed it. And we used AI to augment that. She wrote a lot of it herself, but we really used AI to finish it up.
AI is great at polishing and helping us tell our tale better.
100%. And, you know, it's funny, you said something about AI before. Oh, talking about using the custom GPT, you know, you can get AI to help you there with an audit, but you don't have my professional lens or my experience to really dig deep and explain things. And that's that way with AI in every regard.
Right.
You know, AI is a tool, nothing more. It's not a replacement. It's to help. It's like a collaboration tool. Great for brainstorming and polishing and establishing that original idea. And I mean, I'll be honest, I use it all the time. I use it. I tried to log on to ChatGPT yesterday and it was down and I had a panic attack.
And if y'all haven't been around Larry much, you know, he's actually named his chat. And we're all wondering if there's some secret relationship going on between Larry and Megan, because she tells him everything, like answers everything. Literally, we couldn't get this computer to go one day. And Larry was over here helping me trying to figure it out. And I think it was the Microsoft. We were trying to get something on the Microsoft side. And you literally just asked Megan, how do we do this? And she told us in like, 10 steps or 2 steps.
We got it. We'd been struggling for a half hour easy. And about 10 seconds later, we had an answer and blip, 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 and we were done.
Yeah. Way better than a Google search or a Siri. So Megan's kicking Siri's butt in that every time.
Yep.
Now you have my husband hooked on.
I know. And he had the audacity to name his Megan too.
He did. Megan's cheating on you.
So we still need to have a deeper discussion about that.
I told y'all Larry's like part of the family. So, okay. So for those that want to get an audit, they can go to LarryRoberts.com, find out all about that. Do you guys also have a branded website?
Yeah, workwithbranded.com.
Workwithbranded.com. Okay, yep. Fantastic. Anything else that people need to know about you, Red Hat Media, or podcasting before we wrap up?
Honestly, if you don't have a podcast, you need to have one, you know, and one of the foundations of our business, while the audit is a great asset that we offer, podcast launches, that's our primary focus, is launching branded podcasts, helping thought leaders, helping small business owners establish their podcast, build a brand, reach a new audience, and monetize their shows. So if you need help with any of that, if you're thinking about doing a podcast, reach out. We can help you bring that thing to life, get it launched, and start extending your reach and growing your brand and bringing new customers into your business as well.
Yeah. And he does absolutely fully back it up. So thank you for being here today, for sharing all your Red Hat awesomeness with our world and for standing true to your brand. I think for those of us that are out there in the fight too, kind of fighting in the trenches, it's encouraging for us to see somebody take a stand for what they believe is right. And even if that means that client isn't a client, or that potential isn't a client. We know when we're authentic and we move those rocks out of the way and we just be us, so much else is coming. So thank you for being the inspiration for those of us out here kind of facing some of those situations too.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I appreciate it. And Rock Movers, you heard it. Like, you've seen this podcast, you've seen Red Hat. You guys know you need to be out here. We talk about it's important to get in the room. Well, it's also important to get in the podcast area. And so you don't have to do it alone. We can help you move those rocks. All you got to do is reach out to Larry and know that you are so loved, so supported, and we will see you on the next episode of The Rock Movers. Thank you. Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did. And I hope that you got something super valuable. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to The Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there, and I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our Rock Moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.